This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. At the annual conference of the International Labour Organization, the ILO, being held in Geneva, May 28th to June 12th, the representatives of employer groups are making an astounding claim that the right to strike does not exist at the international level. This is despite decades of agreement by unions, governments, and employers that the decision to withdraw labor to support bargaining demands is a basic human right. The ILO is the UN body which focuses on matters of work in the world. The debate taking place at the ILO is important. If employers can successfully argue that the right to strike is not recognized at the international level, then the right to organize strikes at the national level may be severely restricted as governments attack unions and labor rights. To get a better understanding of the issue, I talked to Jeff Vogt, a legal advisor with the Human and Trade Union Rights Department of the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC is the organization which represents national union centers globally. It has prepared a legal brief outlining the reasons why the right to strike does exist at the international level. Mr. Vogt was one of the authors of the brief. I asked him when this attack by ILO employer representatives on the right to strike started.
Yeah, it happened in 2012 where the employers group at the International Labour Organization made this incredible claim that despite decades and decades of jurisprudence on the right to strike, they decided to claim that it simply didn't exist at the international level. So we thought it would be important to show them that their reasoning is very, very flawed and put this brief together to kind of give ammunition to the kind of the workers around the world that, you know, when your employer is telling you that there is no right to strike or it doesn't exist, that these are the arguments.
What reasons are the employer representatives putting forward in this attack on the right to strike?
Well, one of the arguments they're making is that ILO Convention 87, it's the convention at the international level on, well, one of the conventions at the international level on freedom of association, a convention that has now decades of jurisprudence. And through most of that time, workers, governments, and employers all came to more or less a common agreement that there is, in principle, a right to strike, and that while there may be some limitations, it exists, and there was a common agreement around that. You know, now they want to pretend that those decades simply don't matter anymore. For us, the Convention 87 is very clear. The right of freedom of association has always implied not only the right to get together in a union, but also to strike and to bargain collectively. And if those rights weren't all together in the concept of freedom of association, it would be meaningless. You might as well be in a book club, not in a trade union.
Countries do not have to adopt conventions suggested by the ILO. So what happens in countries that have not ratified the Convention on Freedom of Association, the convention which allows workers to form unions and presumably allows for strikes?
Well, most countries around the world have ratified the convention, with some interesting countries like the United States not having ratified it. But even then, in 1998, the ILO came up with a Declaration of Fundamental Principles and Rights at Work, which said, even if you have not ratified these conventions are so fundamental to what it is to be members of the ILO that you had to follow the principles of these conventions, even if you haven't ratified them. And, of course, separately, there are other international conventions at the UN Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and Social, Economic, and Cultural Rights, which also enshrine this rights. You have at the European level, non-human rights, the Inter-American Convention on Human Rights. All of these treaties clearly establish freedom of association, and many of them very specifically the right to strike.
Even if a country has adopted the ILO Convention on Freedom of Association and has national laws legalizing unions and strikes, many governments, like the Cambodian government, simply ignore these rights. What are unions doing to fight back against governments like these?
Well, Cambodia, in the constitution, the law actually recognized the rights. It's just in practices from this year where workers were out demonstrating over the extremely low minimum wage rate that was set in Cambodia, that workers were gunned down in the streets and arrested for protesting over a higher minimum wage. So, yes, I mean, it's one thing you have to have a right in law and another to have a right in practice. But, you know, I think we see trade unions around the world continuing to assert that right. It's a fundamental right. And, you know, without the right to strike, you know, collective negotiation becomes collective begging. It's the cornerstone of being able to collectively bargain. So, obviously, in the case of Cambodia, unions from around the world have been really coalescing around the unions in Cambodia to try to put pressure on the government, put pressure on the international brands, and make it very clear that a world in which workers cannot exercise their freedom of association, cannot bargain collectively, cannot strike, is not one in which international brands should be benefiting from.